This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching that God is worthy to be worshipped.
We're here for our Sunday worship service. But you know what? I'm wondering why we're here. Because I have an observation. You know what I've observed? Most people who go to a worship service don't. In my experience. Oh, they do a lot of things. They come and they get into the music, you know. I grew up in the South. I grew up in a Baptist church in the South. And when the preacher would preach, man, we'd have people that would shout. You want to talk about falling over pews? Man, we had some shouters down there. You know, they don't seem to know how to shout up here. Amen. But they would really get into it. But you know what? Even then, when I was a kid, I was wondering how many of them are really worshiping God. And how much of it is, man, you know, that was a pretty good backflip Sister Sue did last week. Let me see if I can top it. So much of what we do when we come to what's supposed to be a worship service is something other than worship. I remember being on the platform in a church I was in, looking out over the people as we were singing and noticing there were some people that would just kind of stand there, kind of look at everybody else. I think maybe they were critiquing everybody's voice, you know, was around about them. They would just kind of stand there during the time of singing. And I began to realize that a lot of people don't understand what that's all about. Why do we sing so much in church? Is it because we have such wonderful voices, we just want to hear ourselves? Who wants to confess to that? No. There's a reason for this. Psalm 96. Look at how that psalm starts off. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. Do you know why we sing in church? We sing because we come to declare the glory of God. That's what it's all about. So it's not for the wonderful voices that we listen to one another singing, but it's because we're lifting up the glory of God. And so, you know, I realize that the people who stand there and just kind of watch and don't participate don't understand what's going on. When we sing, how many of you are self-conscious about your singing? If I were to call you up and say, solo, you'd say, solo. Right? But guess what? We are not listening to one another. Do you know who the audience is when we sing? It's God. Look at what it says here, Psalm 96. Look at verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Verse 2. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. We are called to declare the glory of God to God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. When you got saved, if you're a believer, this is part of what the calling that God placed on your life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may, here it is, proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what it's all about. If nothing else happens when you come to church, you ought to be proclaiming the glory of God. Amen? Anybody ever been in a dull church service? Not talking about today. Anybody ever been in a dull church service? Amen? Amen. Guess what? Even if it's the most boring service on earth, there is nobody that can stop you from worshiping God. You can fulfill your purpose. If nobody else is doing anything in that service that's worthwhile, you can still fulfill the purpose for which God placed you on this earth. You can be lifting up praise to His name. Let's look at it. There are three audiences for our praise. As we said, the first audience is God. God Himself. Look at Psalm 66, the first four verses. Psalm 66. The scripture tells us that our praise, we are supposed to reflect back to God how wonderful He is. Anybody here believe God is wonderful? Amen? How many of you have ever been married? Ever been married? Amen? Had a girlfriend or a boyfriend that you really loved? All right? How many of you ever said to that person, you know, you are wonderful? Anybody ever said that? Boy, man, let's go back to the marriage course here. I see we need to review. Well, so much for that illustration. When you love somebody, when you appreciate somebody, you tell them how wonderful they are. Maybe that's where the fault is. You just didn't appreciate them enough. You can't help it. You tell them, you're wonderful. You're great. And now with human beings, what happens is, eventually we do get to the point where we realize they're not as great as we thought they were. But in the beginning, man, you're so wonderful. You're so great. Well, guess what? God will never disappoint. God will never be less than we thought He was. We will never discover God's flaws. We'll never find that God, when He comes home and starts undressing for bed, takes off His clothes and takes off His shoes and takes out His teeth and takes off His hair. We'll never discover that God has flaws that we didn't know about. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He is absolutely perfect. So the first thing is, we tell God how great He is. Psalm 66, starting with verse 1. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. Through the greatness of Your power, Your enemies shall submit themselves to You. All the earth shall worship You and sing praises to You. They shall sing praises to Your name. Do you see it? What we're called to do, number one, first of all, if we don't do anything else, is to tell God, Lord, You're great. Hallelujah. Well, You are great. Look at this. Go back to Psalm chapter 98. Look at how we're supposed to praise the Lord. Look at the way we're supposed to do it. You know, this is not the kind of thing. Let me put you back in that situation that apparently a lot of you were never in, where you're telling your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife how wonderful they are. How many of you take out a book and say, honey, I have something I want to say to you. You are extremely beautiful. You are wonderful. I am so glad to be. How many of you do that? No, what happens? When you start telling the one you love how great they are, you have a little emotion in you someplace. You have a little expressiveness in you someplace. Look at this. We're in Psalm 98, verses 4 through 8. Psalm 98. Look at this. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with the trumpets and the sound of a horn. Sing joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. Do you get the picture of what God is looking for? He says, it's that your praise ought to be like the roaring of the sea. Hallelujah. I mean, he says, let even the rivers and the streams in another place, let the trees of the field clap their hands in praise of God. And you know, we're sitting here going, hallelujah, Lord. And God says, I'm going to have to get me some trees. I'm going to have to get me some rocks. If we really know who God is, if we really love him, if we really appreciate him, we can't just sit still on it. When I was in that church growing up and these people were shouting and stuff, you know what I was saying? Not me. I'm never going to do that. Why? I didn't want people looking at me. I didn't want people thinking, man, look at him. What's with him? And so I said, Lord, never me. Now, I have to tell you, I've never shouted. But you know what I had to learn to do? I had to learn to start praising God with my whole body.
Go ahead.
We sang the song, bow down and worship him. You know, sometimes you need to bow down. If you're going to really worship the Lord, sometimes, have you ever gone flat on your face, prostrate before the Lord? I mean, that's giving him the highest praise. And so bow down and worship him. Bow down. I came to a place where once I saw in the scripture, said, lift your hands. And man, you know, that was hard because I'd never done that. But it says, and we'll see this, lift your hands to the Lord. And so I started to do that. Then I saw in the scripture where it said, David danced before the Lord. Well, I haven't gotten to that point yet. You know, we're all still in progress here. But the point is to let go of looking around saying, who is looking at me? Because when we're concerned about who's looking at me, where is our attention? It's on me. And when we come to worship, what's the attention supposed to be? On God. Guess what? If everybody in the place is focused on God, nobody's going to have time to look at you.
Go ahead.
Nobody's going to have time to look at you. Nobody's going to care what you're doing. The point is, God is supposed to be center stage. And we want to let him know, with everything that's within us, shout joyfully unto the Lord. The first audience is God himself. Let's look at what the second audience to our praise is to be. Psalm 96. Look at verse 3. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. First off, we start by declaring the glory of God to God himself. Lord, you are wonderful. Lord, I praise you. But then what do? We turn around to our neighbor. You know what? God is great. God is good. God has done such wonderful things in my life. I just can't keep it to my... I have to let you know, man, God has blessed me. Anybody ever share that with somebody? God has blessed me. Hallelujah. We are to let the world know. You know, once we start praising God, you're going to get on your job. And somebody's going to hear you singing a song of praise to the Lord. I shared before, you know, I was working for a company down in Lancaster, and I had an office with a door. And I'd go in there and I'd shut the door and I'd start singing praises. Hallelujah. And I'd think, my door is shut. Nobody can hear me. And then I'd go out in the hall and somebody would say, hey, that sounded like a pretty good song you were singing. I'm wondering how many people were walking up and down the halls hearing me sing in my office. But guess what? It's all right.
Yes.
It's all right.
Yes, it is.
Why? They need to know God is good. They need to know we have a great God. They need to know that we have a God who can meet every need, who can take us through rough places, who has delivered us when Satan will have killed us. People need to know that. And so it says that we are to declare his salvation, declare his goodness before the world. Go over to Psalm 107. Look at verse 2. Psalm 107. Here it is. These are our marching orders as believers in Christ, as those who proclaim the name of Jesus and say we do belong to him. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. Does that mean when you get home and nobody can hear you, hey, I belong to Jesus? Was anybody around? No, what does it mean? So everybody can hear. Amen. Doesn't mean you got to get out and preach. Doesn't mean that we have to get out on a street corner and shout it out with a bullhorn. What does it mean? Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. How many of you get to work on Monday and there was a great game over the weekend and you start talking about the team you were rooting for, how great they did. But when it comes down to saying how great God is, what do? We turn around and say, well, wait a minute. You know, I don't know. What will people think? Well, what will people think? You staying up until 12, 1:30 at night looking at a basketball game and you come in the morning all sleepy and everything, and yet you can't say, you know, at church yesterday, the glory of God filled the place. It was wonderful, man. You should have been there. See, people need to know. And we need to be willing to praise God, to praise Him, to say we are the redeemed of the Lord. Go over to Psalm 103. Look at this. What is it that we have to share with people about the wonderful salvation of the Lord? Maybe some of you can identify with what we see in Psalm 103. Look at this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. How much? All that is within me. What does that say? Nothing held back. Nothing inhibited. All that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Has the Lord blessed anybody here? Have you benefited from knowing the Lord here? Amen. Forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Anybody had any iniquities forgiven? Anybody had any sins that God forgave? Anybody had any sins this morning that God forgave? Amen. Forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Anybody been healed? Anybody know that you'd be in your grave right now if God hadn't raised you up? Who redeems your life from destruction. Is there anybody here that was on the road to self-destruction and God turned you around? When Jesus came into your life, you were headed in a direction that was going to destroy you. And God turned you around and put you on a new road. Anybody got that testimony? Amen. Amen. He is the one. That's our testimony. That's what we have to say. He redeemed our life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, I claim that. Lord, you renew my youth like the eagles. Then it says, look, the Lord, verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Now in that passage, in those 12 verses, does anybody find something that you can give testimony to? Something that God has been in your life, something that He's done for you, something that you as the redeemed of the Lord can stand up and share with somebody about how great your God is. We have a wonderful God. Amen. And what He calls upon us to do, sometimes we need to just step back and reflect on what God has done in our lives. Amen. Any of you ever go through hard times, difficult circumstances? Do you sometimes get discouraged in the midst of difficult circumstances? Yeah. You know how to deal with your discouragement? Step back and say, now wait a minute. When I look at this thing, it looks so dark. But wait a minute. The last time I was in something that looked this dark, what did God do? God brought me through that. In fact, He brought me through it better than I thought I would ever get through it. And so if He brought me through that one, guess what? He can bring me through this one. See, we step back and we think about what God has done in our lives. And you know what? Let me ask you. When you go through difficult, discouraging circumstances, how many of us talk about it in a discouraging way to ourselves and to other people? Oh man, you don't know how bad it is. It's so hard. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, why isn't God moving in my behalf? I've been praying and God hadn't been doing anything. Oh, woe is me. Woe is me. How many of us? Nobody's raising their hand, but that's okay. Amen. You know what that is? That is a sure prescription for spiraling downward. You talk yourself into depression. Amen? You want to know how to overcome that? Start praising God.
Amen.
Start thinking about what God has done. Start looking at what He has been in your life and what He has promised to be in your life. And not only think about it, but what? Start talking about it. Start confessing not your woes, not your problems, not what's going on that's so hard you don't feel like you know how to get through it, but start confessing God's word, what God has promised to do in your behalf. Start confessing God's word about how wonderful He has been in your past and what He has promised to do in your future, and you will find your emotions begin to turn around. Amen? It's hard to praise God and stay depressed at the same time. It really is. You can have one or you can have the other. But it's hard to have both at the same time. Well, let's look at the third audience for our praises to God. Go over to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, starting with verse 1. O God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I have looked for You, if so, I have looked for You in the sanctuary, to see Your power and Your glory. Because Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise You. Thus will I bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. So my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise You with joyful lips. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches. Because You have been my help, therefore in the shadow of Your wings, I will rejoice. Do you see the emotion words there? It's joy, joyfulness. I will rejoice. Why? God made you to praise Him. You know that? That's the way He created you. He made you to praise Him. I've shared with you that when I was growing up, I used to put together electronic kits and to build electronic things, radios and shortwave radios, that kind of stuff. And I discovered something. When I would get the plans for a particular piece of equipment and I would put it together the way it was designed, if it was a shortwave radio, I could never put a keyboard on it and play it like a piano. You know why? That's not what it was created for. But when I wanted to tune in some shortwave radio stations, it did a great job. Why? That's what it was created for. That's what it was designed for. God designed you to praise Him.
Amen.
He designed you to praise Him. And guess what? When you do what you're designed to do, you get happy. Hallelujah. You get happy when you do what you're designed to do. When you fall in line with the way God created you, that's when you get the joy flowing through you. And that's why it says when we praise God as He has called us to praise Him, it says, because You are my help, therefore in the shadow of Your wings, I will rejoice. Psalm 97, verse 1. Psalm 97, 1. This is the way it's supposed to be like. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad. When we praise God, what's supposed to happen in us is joy and gladness. And when we learn the secret of praise, that's what we'll see. John 4, 23 and 24. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Do you know God is looking for those who will worship him? God is looking for people who will bow down their face to him and give him the praise that's due his name. You know what the real reason is that we praise and worship the Lord? Go back to Psalm 96. Start with verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come to into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. You know the real reason why we worship him? It's because of who he is. Just because he's God. Just because he's the kind of God that he is, with the attributes that he has. Look at what it says again. Look at verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. There is no God like him. There is no other. He is absolutely unique. He is the one and only of the entire universe. And we worship him. It says in verse 7 or verse 8. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. His name is the name above all names. And it is worthy of all glory. Amen? We worship God simply because of who he is. There is none like him. When you were growing up, how many of you liked somebody who maybe was a singer? And you really got into that person and you just really, really loved them. You kind of worshiped them. Anybody did that? I won't ask how many of you, when the current president was running for the first time, you said, that's my man, and you voted for him. And then a little bit later, you said, man, I used to worship him, but now, guess what? There's only one who's worthy of worship.
Yeah.
It's not a rock star. It's not a president. It's not even your husband or your wife. There's only one, and he is God. He is the one who is above every other. There is none like him. There is none who can compare to him. There is none who can compare to him in holiness. There is none who can compare to him in righteousness. There is none who can compare to him in judgment, in the love that he has, in his tender mercies, in the fact that he is all-seeing, in the fact that he has all power, in the fact that he is absolutely sovereign. There is no one who can tell him no. There is no one to compare. There's only one to be worshipped, and that's God.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.